So I had to go to them. I was being used there. And that's my testimony.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Baird.
Why don't you take your Bibles tonight and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'll fill in a little bit of the blanks. I was talking to Brother Baird this afternoon, and as he said, he didn't remember everything, but there were some things that I enjoyed about his testimony and maybe can help even fill in a little bit more. As he said, the favorite part of his testimony was, for me, was when he was telling me, "Pastor, I feel like God uses me outside of Elizabeth City. I don't understand why God doesn't use me that much here." And the microphone wasn't working that well. He said, "You better be careful what you ask for, because God used them here, but he used the cancer to help them be a witness and a testimony here." And that was important to understand. It goes along with tonight's message a little bit. If we want to make a difference, it's going to cost us something. And Brother Bear was telling me some of the stories. He's telling me the story about inside his doctor's office. There was a nurse who he heard overhead says, "Don't want to have anything to do with God. Don't talk to me about the Bible. Don't talk about anything about God with me." And the last time he was in the doctor's office, this lady was his nurse, and she sat there and listened to Brother Bear talk about God and give his testimony. And that was a wonderful thing. He's saying that how God was able to use him there. As he was talking about that, those verses in James, the Bible says, "If any among you are afflicted, let him pray. If is any merry, let him sing songs. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." So that's the idea there. You're wondering about when he was talking about the pastor there anointing it. That's where the scripture comes from with that. And I've done that myself, people's inside their houses when they've asked, when someone calls and asks, because it is biblical. And what he went and he asked this gentleman, and he said, why would he do it there instead of here? As he mentioned, he just followed the Lord's leading throughout all this. And that was, and the Lord led him there, and he did not know that was going to be a help to his family. But God worked all that out for him. And that's amazing to think that if you've seen what he's gone through, that he said he would do it again. That's a testimony, because I don't know if I would do it again. But he was saying, in order to make a difference in this world, he'd be willing to do it again. And I think that's a wonderful testimony there. And I think he encouraged you. I think hopefully it was encouragement to you. Hopefully you got to hear it all and understand all what was being said. And it took a lot of guts to get up here and say that. It's not easy standing back here and talking about what God's doing and God's using. And I don't think Brother Bear is looking for the glory at all in any of this. I think he's looking for God to get the glory and what God healed him. And I'm thankful for that. He had that strong testimony. I don't know about you, but he was telling us long before, when he first found out the things that were going on, he says, God's going to take care of me. God's going to heal me. He had that faith that God was going to take care of him. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going to look at a little bit tonight about this idea of making a difference is going to cost you something. And we've been talking for a number of weeks on Sunday morning, a little bit on Sunday night, we've been talking about how God wants us to make a difference in this world. He wants to use us. But using us, sometimes it's going to cost us something. And as I mentioned this morning, we're not talking about financial things. We're talking about how sometimes to be able to be used by God, it costs us something in our lives. Like Brother Bear was to be used in Elizabeth City, and God allowed him to get cancer so that way he could be a testimony. And another thing in his testimony he didn't mention tonight that he mentioned me today, he says, "Pastor, you know that after this has happened, God has put 5 or 6 different people with cancer in their lives that I've been able to be a testimony to, that before I could have never been a testimony like I can be, but I can go to them now and I can talk to them about how they're dealing with cancer." And in just a little while, that's one of the points of the message, how God allows things to happen into our lives to equip us to help others. So we come to this point, you know, you say, what do you mean that they will cost you something? It's the idea that if when you look at the Bible characters, those that have gone through the Bible and made a difference many times, they face hardships, and they face trials, and they face tough things. And God was able to get the glory out of it because they let God use them to make a difference despite the trials they were going through. And this story here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is a famous passage of Scripture. You see, the Apostle Paul has learned this, and the Apostle Paul understands this, and he actually says he glories in his infirmities. Let's look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 6. It says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought thee thrice, that it might be depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, to give a little understanding and commentary on these verses, what it's saying is the Apostle Paul had some type of thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what the Bible doesn't clearly tell us what it is. It gives us some hints that most people believe, because some of the things he said, it was an eye problem. Remember the church that said they were willing to pluck out their own eyes and give them to the Apostle Paul. The other time when he had written a letter, he had written in large letters, probably meaning it's someone who had an eye problem. He had this thorn in the flesh, and this was something that was bothering him. And three different times he went to the Lord and said, "Lord, please heal me." And God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And at the end of this, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities," it says in that last phrase, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." What he was saying is that it was okay for God to leave that thorn in the flesh if it meant that he was going to be able to have the power of God in his life. It was okay for this trial and this hardship to happen if it meant that God's power would be upon him in his ministry and in his service. And if you put it in the terms that we've been using, it was okay as long as he was willing and able to make a difference. And continue going in verse number 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmity and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses," and that next phrase, "for Christ's sake. I can face anything as long as I'm doing it for Jesus Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Tonight, when we consider this idea of making a difference, and we all have that desire, and it's something we've been talking about for months, it will cost us something. I don't want us to be fooled into thinking that it's going to be easy. I don't want us to be fooled into thinking that, hey, anybody can do it. There is a price to pay. And tonight, I'd like to look at that for a little while. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. I thank you for Bear's testimony. I thank you for the fact that you healed Bear. And Lord, we know that you are powerful, and Lord, that you can do all things, and we can put our faith and trust in you, and how you've increased his faith and been able to help him to witness into a group that maybe he never had the opportunity to witness to. But Lord, help us to also look in our own lives. Help us to really, truly desire to make a difference and realize if we are going to make a difference in this world, there's a price that's going to need to be paid. That it's going to cost us something, that we be willing to pay that price, that the power of Christ may rest upon us. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been about 8 weeks and about 10 different messages as we've been talking about making a difference, and tonight will be the last one in this actual series, but I'm sure throughout the rest of the year, since it's our theme for the year, we'll allude to it. But as we talk about this, we remember back to the first message we had and the idea about the Apostle Paul. We talk about different difference makers. Remember that words put different difference makers? It's kind of hard to say sometimes. So talk about the Apostle Paul. And we talk, why was the Apostle Paul a difference maker? You know why he's a difference maker? Is because he didn't let any of these things move him. He says, none of these things move me. He continued on. He continued on serving. He continued on going. And we looked at all those different things he faced, the stonings. He looked at the shipwrecks, looked at the beatings, looked at the imprisonments, looked at all these things. And the reason why he made a difference in this world, and there was a lot of different reasons, but it kept on going. Not only did we see that, we saw that Daniel was a difference maker because he showed us how to live godly in a pagan culture. We saw what Daniel had to be taken through. Daniel was taken from his country as a slave, taken to Babylon, taken and thousands of miles away from his family and from his homes, from his priests, from the prophets, away from everything. And Daniel was taken and put into a pagan culture. And you can see as this old man grows in the book of Daniel, he taught us how we can live for God in a pagan culture. He made a difference. But you see in the lives here, you see, notice something? You notice the price that Paul had to pay. He had to experience all those things. But boy, what a difference he made. Think about Daniel, the price he had to pay. He was thrown into the lion's den. He was
He was put with a death warrant on his head. All these different things. He had to face these things, but this increased his faith, and this helped him to grow in his walk, and he saw that God was able to make a difference in his life. We talked about Abraham. Abraham was a difference maker because he was obedient. He left his land. He had to, by faith, leave everything he knew to go make this great nation that God has spoken about. Not only was he obedient, but because of his obedience, it changed his outlook, and he was willing to make that sacrifice. We talk about the sacrifice of being willing to give up his son. Not only did we look at Abraham, we also went and we looked at Joseph. And Joseph is probably one of the hardest things for us to get into and understand, because Joseph was a difference maker because he chose to forgive. And that's sometimes one of the hardest things in the world to do, is to choose to forgive people. He was able to make a difference because he refused to get bitter. And because he refused to get bitter, God was able to use him for good. Everybody else meant it for evil, but God meant it unto the good. The brothers meant it unto evil. The butler had forgotten him. He got all those stories of how, all those things he went through. It cost him something to make a difference. It cost him something to be able to help people. And last week we learned a little bit about Jeremiah, and I know he wasn't the difference maker we talked about, but he definitely could have been. For over 40 years, he prophesied and preached a message of repentance to the nation of Israel, and he made a difference. Say, Pastor, I thought you said he didn't have any converts. He didn't. But he made a difference in those people's lives because they saw, as they were running to ruin and as they refused to get right with God, that Jeremiah's heart was broken, and taught the people that God's heart was broken because of their sin. And Jeremiah, for over 40 years, preached a hard message, and nobody listened to it. In the book of Lamentations, we looked at in Sunday school this morning, he's sitting there weeping. We see that the heart of God is broken. What a difference maker Jeremiah was. But he had to go through it. He had to go through the trials. He had to go through the hardships. And then we continue on talking about how God is the greatest difference maker in our lives. We talked about how the Word of God can make the difference for us. We talked about making difference through prayer. We talked about having compassion so we can want to make a difference. And last week was, you have to be clean in order to make a difference. You know, do you really want to make a difference in this world? As a Christian, as a believer, the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, God wants us to make a difference in the world that we live in, the world that we're around. He wants us to have an impact. He wants us to make a change and do something. Now, I want you to understand tonight, when we look at this passage of scriptures, I want you to understand this age-old question. Why do good things happen? Why do bad things, happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? And here in the Word of God, I think we have some answers. You know, I don't know if you talk about all the different people in our church, probably one of the most likable guys in our whole church is Brother Bear. He might be a little bit intimidating. He might be big, and he might be strong, and you wouldn't want to mess with him. But if you ever got a chance to know him, he is a very friendly and likable person. He says, why in the world would God allow him to have cancer? And it's the same question that's been asked throughout the years. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't want to keep on messing that up. Why do bad things happen to good people? And tonight in this story, in this message, I think we can look at some different things. Why God allows things to happen in people's lives to help make them able and equipped to make a difference. First point is, and I don't want to go too far into this one because it's not the idea of the message behind it, but I don't want you to say, oh, that's the reason why all these bad things are happening, is because God is trying to conform and God is trying to make me. The number one reason why bad things happen to good people is because of sin in their lives. I mean, I don't want to paint a picture that just is not a right picture. That if you have sin in your life, if you're going away from God, if you're not serving God like you're supposed to, God is your heavenly Father and God will chastise you. And I don't say, well, is that what happened with Brother Bear? I'm not saying that at all. We're getting to the other points, but I don't want you to get this wrong picture here. That if you got something in your life that is sin, God allows things to come into your life to wake you up, to get your attention. It's found throughout the whole Bible. You think about what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. You think about what happened with Uzziah with the leprosy, and Miriam when she was chastised. You think about Moses when He didn't do what he was supposed to do. He wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. The Bible is filled with people of God disciplining his children because God loves his children and he is not going to let you continue on living in sin. And now, I'm talking about a completely different subject tonight, but I didn't want you to get this idea that, hey, if you're living in sin tonight and God's trying to get a hold of your attention, don't bury your head in the sand thinking, oh, it's because God wants to make me better, to make you use the difference. No, God wants you to get right with him tonight. God wants you to be right with him. So I want you to understand here. And even when you discuss those that are unsaved, those that are do not know God at all, you know, God sends judgment. He is a just God. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. And he punishes sin. Now, it's not like he's up there and you don't have the description of this old man with lightning bolts casting people down. That's not God. God is a loving, God is a faithful, he is long-suffering, he is patient, he is kind, he is all those things. But because he is holy, there is a penalty to pay for our sins. Whether saved and he chastises you as a child and disciplines you as a child, or unsaved, punishing for your sins. If you're here tonight and you're unsaved, the Bible says that God sent his son down the cross to die for you. He paid your penalty for your sin, and you have an opportunity to go to heaven if you place your faith and trust in him. And that's a completely different part of the message. The message tonight we're going to focus in is, if you really are living for God and your heart's desire is to try to make a difference, I want you to understand sometimes God allows things into your life for some reasons. It costs you something, but God is trying to mold you and to make you into a vessel that he can use. Like last week, we used that cup there. Remember, we had the clean cup, we had the dirty cup, and it was saying that we need to be just like a cup, set in God's hands for him to use in whatever way he wants. If he chooses to give you cancer, then he chooses to give you cancer. If he chooses to lay you off from work, he chooses to lay you off from work. If he chooses to improve you in some area, that's great. If he chooses to lay some infirmity on you, you're just a cup in God's hand to use whatever way he wants. Now here, when you look at this story, the Apostle Paul here, he tells us one of the reasons why sometimes bad things happen to good people is it's for a preventative measure. A preventative measure. Look what it says here in verse number 7. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." What he's saying here is that God allowed this thorn in the flesh to happen in his life so he would not be filled with pride. He kept us on this plane and this understanding, and he taught us, hey, he's saying, you need me. But if Paul, because of the revelations he had at the beginning of the chapter, it talks about how God allowed him to see his special revelation of heaven and how God allowed him to see these things and that he might get built up, he might get puffed up, he might become prideful. And remember, God cannot use a prideful person. So he says that God allowed this thorn in the flesh, this what most of the world would consider a bad thing to happen to him, so he would be a useful servant. You know, sometimes when things happen in our lives, they humble us. I don't know about you, but I get humbled often. And when things are going well, things seem to be going strong, and then something happens, it humbles us to help us realize that it's not by us or our strength, but it is by God and his power that we must rely on. First thing is God allows these things to happen as a preventative measure. Next thing is, this is I think one of the main things that God allows these things to happen in our lives is to teach us some things. The first thing I think he tries to teach us is he tries to teach us that his grace is sufficient. Look what it says in verse number 8. It says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." This is the Apostle Paul. This is not a man who had sin in his heart and sin in his life and God was not listening. God answered his prayer, but his answer was, "No, I'm not going to heal you. No, I'm not going to do this." And he said unto him and unto me in verse number 9, this is God said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." The word sufficient means to be possessed of an unfailing strength, to be enough. What the Lord was telling Paul, he says, "I got a big task for you to do. I got a job, and I've called you to this task. I want you to make a difference. I know you feel weak. I know you feel inferior because of this need. But Paul, you need to know this. The power that you lack, it will be enough through me. My grace will be enough for you to handle this. And it'll be sufficient for you. It'll be more than enough." And that's the idea here. Sometimes God allows bad things to happen, and he wants to teach us that his grace is sufficient. How many times have we looked at our situation only to think if this problem would be solved or this thing would go away somehow, if things would be different, then I could really serve God. He'd make excuses. If I could just feel a little bit better, if I could, then I would do something for Jesus. If my husband or if my wife was only saved or come to church with me, then things would be so much easier, and then I could serve the Lord. Oh, maybe if I was younger, maybe if I was smarter, maybe if I was more talented, maybe if I was a little bit wealthier, then I could make a difference, then I could be used by God. And the problem with that kind of thinking is, that it's all wrapped up in self. It's all wrapped up in what I can do, all in what I need, and all in what I can work out the little details. But what God is teaching the great Apostle Paul, the man that he wanted to come and use to make a great difference, maybe one of the greatest difference makers in all the world, he was teaching him something here. He says, yes, you had that thorn, and that will be a constant reminder to you that my grace is what's sufficient. Now, Paul was smart. He was wise. You read some of the things he's wrote. He was a great writer. But God wanted him to learn that his grace was sufficient. The Lord says to Paul, I'm the one in control. I'm the one that needs to meet your needs. I'm the one that can take care of you. And that's when he says, my grace is sufficient. And grace is the undeserved love and favor of God. He will give you grace to support you and sustain you regardless of what you face before you get out of this life. He will give you the grace. See, why do bad things happen to good people? God's trying to teach us something. He's trying to show us that his grace is sufficient for us. We really want to make a difference. We have to learn that it's not about what we can work up. It's not about what we can do. It's about what God can do through us. And sometimes we don't see that until God brings things into our lives. Next thing I think he wants to teach us about his strength. Look what it says here. And in verse number 9, once again, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, referring to God, is made perfect in his weakness, in Paul's weakness. He says, when you are weak, that's when I can be strong. Look what it says at the end of verse number 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul was saying, I learn now. I understand that when I am weak and when I'm working and planning and using God's strength and God's power, that's when I have strength. That's when I can face anything, is when I am physically weak. When I realize that it's not in me, but it's God's strength. When the Lord was saying is his strength is made perfect in weakness, he reminds Paul that God's plan will only be accomplished through God's strength. You can work up as much strength and as much power and become as talented as you want to, but if you do not have the power of God, if you're not living for God, the Bible says that without God, you can do nothing. And you need God's help. And that's what sometimes of the bad things, the tests and the trials that come in. When we see what happened to Daniel, he was thrown into the fire in a sense of the trial. We saw that he rose above because he understood that God's grace was sufficient. Joseph, when he was thrown into the prison, the Bible says the Lord was with him. He understood that God's grace was sufficient. When we saw Paul go through these things, he had to learn that God's grace is sufficient. That is when he was able to make the difference. When he knew it wasn't his strength, but it was God's strength. When one of the things that you probably know about Brother Bear is he's a big, strong guy. But when he's going through that chemo and that radiation, his strength was taken away. And it's the same thing when we go through trials and when we go through tests and when we go through hardships, and we've all been through them. I know we let Brother Bear give his testimony tonight, but there have all been trying times, and we've been put through the fire before, and we've been things have happened to us that we just wish didn't happen. But God's saying that during those times, it's when we look to him and we learn that his grace is sufficient. We learn that it's through his strength that we can bring glory to God. Next thing I think he wants to teach us about is that sometimes he uses these things to bring glory to himself. You read here, and it is a wonderful verse. At the end of verse number 9, he says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory. I mean, he's saying, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's saying, I don't want any type of glory for myself. He says, I would rather glory in the infirmity than glory in myself. I would rather glory in the infirmity than the revelations that God has sent me in the earlier chapters. The fact that I got to see the heavens when no one else got to see them. I don't want people to look at me for that. I want them to see my infirmities. I want them to see my weaknesses. I want them to see my failures. I want them to see that I can't do this on my own, but it's only through God and through him and him alone that he can bring glory. Take your Bibles and look here in the Gospel of John, chapter number 9, if you like to, or you can just follow, listen. In John chapter number 9, there's an interesting story that his disciples asked this his disciples asked Jesus a question. John chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The sad part of the story is that this man was born blind, and the Jewish people back then used to think because a person was born blind that either he was going to be a sinner and God knew it, or his parents had sinned, and that's the reason why the bad things had happened into his life. And what Jesus says here in verse number 3, you got it all wrong. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He says, this man was born blind, not because of the fact of some sin he had done or because of some sin that his parents had done. This man was born blind for this moment and for this moment in time that God could get the glory out of this. And sometimes when these hardships happen in our lives, it's not because of sin. I know that's the main reason, but sometimes it's just so God can get glory out of your life. What does the Bible talk about? That they should see our good works and they're going to glorify you for their good works. Doesn't say that at all. It's when we live and give our lives over to God, we learn that his grace is sufficient, we let his strength be shown in our weakness, that when we do good works, they will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Sometimes we're allowed things to go into our lives just so God can get the glory, so God can lift us back up. And when we put our faith and trust in him, that God can be seen in us and through us, and they know it's not us, they know it's all God that did this. And that's what he's looking to do. Next thing, and I think this is one of the coolest things, is it equips us for a future ministry in the lives of others. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I know I mentioned this part of the testimony of Brother Bear, and he didn't mention it, but he did tell me in the office today, and I didn't even prod it. Didn't even have to ask, but he said one of the coolest things was that since he has had the cancer, that God has put 4 or 5 or 6 different people in his lives that had cancer, and now he has a testimony. Where before he might not have known what to say, or where before he might not have been able to reach them or make as much of a difference, but now that he's gone through this cancer, he can go up to someone who has cancer and be an encouragement and says, you know what, God helped me. God went through this with me. And he can give his testimony, and he can be an encouragement. I know that I've never been through cancer, but I know there's people in this room that have been through cancer, who have suffered through cancer, maybe some that are even going through cancer right now. And I tell you that you can be an encouragement one to another, that there's no way I could be that type of encouragement. You listen to what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and this is one of the reasons why I think God allows certain things to happen in our lives, is so he can equip us for future ministry in the lives of others. Look what it says in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He came by and he comforts us in our tribulation, our times of trials, and our times of hardships. And look at that next phrase. That we may be able. The reason why he's come along and comforted us is so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What that verse is saying there is because of the comfort that God gave to Brother Bear, or the comfort God gives to each and every one of us when we're going through a hardship and when we're going through a trial, when God allows us to go through it and God gets the glory, God gives us his grace, we realize God's grace is sufficient, we let God's strength show through our weakness, and God helps us and God uses us, then we can go to someone else that's going through the same thing, put our arm around them and say, I know what you're going through. God comforted me back here. God can do the same for you. I think I've told you the story before. There was an assistant pastor at our church, and his wife had probably 4 different children, but the sad story that she had lost maybe 3 or 4 children before they were ever born. She had lost them in the pregnancy times. And stood up and gave a testimony one time, and it broke my heart to think that actually she wasn't the one that gave the testimony, but it was about a woman who was going through that for the first time in her life. She said, I was so in despair. She says, no one could comfort me. I had lost all hope. I did not know what to say or what to do. My husband tried to be there for me. I tried to turn to the Bible. I just could not get any relief. But it wasn't until that assistant pastor's wife came in and put her arm around her and said, I know what you're going through. I've experienced it. I've been through it. And God's helped me through it. And God has given me the opportunity now to comfort you with these words. And that's what it's saying here. He makes us able to go and help someone who's gone through the same problems that we've gone through. Some of you have lost mothers and fathers. I go and I sit beside people who've lost their mothers and fathers sometimes, and I try to be a source of encouragement. I try to offer the hope that the Bible has, and those are things that we're supposed to do. But it's nothing like someone else who's gone through the same thing recently that comes alongside you and sits beside you and holds your hand and says, you know what? God saw me through this. It wasn't easy, but God kept me and comforted me through this, and he will do the same for you. Sometimes God allows bad things to happen to good people so you can in the future be equipped to help someone else. See, sometimes we need to have our hope in God, not in the circumstances that are around us, so we can allow God to use us. Keep on going in verse number 4. I'll read it one more time. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also of the consolation. Someday you'll be able to console someone else that's going through the same thing. If you'll just keep your eyes focused on him, if you'll just let his grace be sufficient during this time, if you'll just let his strength show through your weakness, you'll be able to make a difference someday in someone else's life. But if you want to make a difference someday, it may cost you something. It may cost some easy times. It may cost some hardships. It may cost you some tough times. But what God is trying to do in your life, we're almost finished here, he is trying to make you able and equip you to learn these things. He's trying to, first of all, keep you humble. He's trying to teach you that his grace is sufficient. He's trying to teach you that his strength is made strong in your weakness, and that he wants glory from your lives. But also, he's saying, if you let me walk you through this, that maybe someday down the line, maybe some way down the road, you're going to be able to be a comfort and make a difference in someone's life that nobody else could, because you went through the exact same thing that they're going through now. So when you put it that way, then maybe the hardship doesn't seem too tough. Maybe even though it might be painful, even though it might be a struggle, even though it might mean emotional turmoil, it might mean physical turmoil, it might mean financial turmoil, it might mean any of those things. It might cost you something dear. But we have our faith and our hope in God. We don't have our hope in ourselves and our circumstances. Our hope is found in God. So tonight I want you to get this and understand this. If you really truly want to make a difference, like we've been talking about in the last 8 weeks, it's going to cost something. And all those missionaries that go on to those foreign lands, they wouldn't give it up for any reason, because if they would, they'd be home. But you know what? It cost them something. They had to say goodbye to mom and dad, goodbye to brother and sister, goodbye to many times the wealth of America, to go live in some situations that we wouldn't want to live in. It cost them something. But they're learning God's grace is sufficient. They're learning that his strength is in our weakness. They're learning that God can get glory in their lives. And they're learning that someday they're going to be able to teach other missionaries that God helped them through it. Think about the story of Moses for a second. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Now, he had a choice. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and many people and commentators believe he was going to be next in line to be Pharaoh. But Moses chose. He saw the options. He saw the choices. A life of luxury or a life of affliction. And see, his response, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. His eyes was not focused on the treasures. His eyes are not focused on the wrath of the Egyptians and the wrath of the king. His eyes was focused on him who was invisible. He was focused on God. And when you're going through hardships and trials and tests, if you can keep your eyes focused on God, that's when he's going to teach you how to be humble. That is when he's going to teach you that his grace is sufficient. You can't make it any other way. That's when he's going to teach you that you're not going to make it through on your own strength. He's going to break you of that. You're going to make it through on his strength. And he's going to teach you that. He's going to equip you and make you ready and able to help others. I never asked Brother Bear that question if he'd go through it again. But I thought about it this afternoon. I says, I wonder if he'd go through it again. You know what he said? He would. He said the fact that it made a difference in his family, he'd go through it again. The fact that it gave him a chance to be a witness, he'd go through it again. And I am not trying to lift Brother Bear up, because we've all gone through tests. I've watched some of you go through things just as difficult, maybe in some senses, maybe a little bit even more difficult. I watched how you stayed faithful, and I watched how God has worked and God has used you, and he's made you able. But I want us to understand that it does not stop here. The difference that God wants us to make is in the future. But when we bind together to make a difference, it's going to cost us something. It's not some rosy picture. It's not some idea that everything's going to be perfect, a bed of roses, everything's going to be easy. That's not found in here. You see the stories of Daniel's and the stories of Paul's and the stories of Joseph and the stories of Moses, those great difference makers in the Bible. It cost them something. Remember that. But boy, what a difference they make. And it's worth it. It's worth it to make a difference for God. It's worth it if just one person be saved. Yeah. You think about it, an eternity in hell for a soul. But if you use like God used you to make a difference to one person for Christ, it'd be worth it. Imagine if it was two or three tonight. Are you willing to make a difference? Be willing to pay the price. Because when you make a difference, it will cost you something. Let's go ahead and pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go ahead and raise to our feet for a time of invitation. Tonight, I pray that God spoke into your heart, maybe about some heart.